This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. And my goodness, there is a lot of dancing happening in the studios this morning.
No kidding. I have never seen that before. I hope our listeners are having as much fun with that intro music as we have. I mean, we're doing like full workouts and we've even got Owen going now. So
yeah,
a little cardio to start the day.
How are you, Charlie? How's your week been?
It's been great. It is foggy here today, so we know we're well into autumn. Welcome to October. Not a lot of rain. As a matter of fact, no rain and no rain in the forecast. So I'm pretty happy for those of you that did get rain, because so many people I talk to are like, oh yeah, we finally got the big drenching. And I'm like, oh, I wish we'd have a big drenching. So I'm still hauling hoses and still praying for rain.
Yikes.
Well, otherwise, everything's pretty good. How about you?
Good. Yeah, I'm in my final show week here. I'm in Port Coburn this week. Beautiful Port Coburn. And we have clear blue skies this morning. I've been getting up. I'm a sunrise guy, so I get up every morning. And the house that I'm staying in is right on the canal, right by the lift bridge. And so I watch all the big vessels coming in and out, and it's quite lovely. And a few mornings ago, it was quite nippy. It was about 6 degrees when I got up about 3 mornings ago. But now the last 3 mornings, I cannot get over this weather for October the 4th. I'm wearing shorts. I'm still wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And
I think we're supposed to be feeling like 27 degrees today, though it will only be actually 24 or something like that. Wow. But still, that is very, very mild. Wow. Lovely weather for planting, transplanting, bulb planting, all that important stuff. So great, great weather in that sense. But rain would help.
Rain would help. I do want to mention, Charlie, and this is, I've been thinking about you all week because, you know, after we do our performances of this show at the Roselawn Theater, and thanks to Paige for getting me in here this morning and hooking me up to the, the internet and all that. So, but I got to tell you that I've had a number of people that come through at the end of the show and they say, I listen to you and Charlie on every Saturday morning. So, I mean, we know because we get the calls from far and wide all over the province, but I have had people that just identify themselves as listeners. And Linda, who lives in Sutton, is one of them who said, you know, she wanted me to say hi to you and that she is a regular listener. She's listening every Saturday morning.
Well, big shout out to Linda. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. And speaking of shout outs, we should give the numbers out. Because I think you have a bit of an announcement you want to make.
Couple, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's happening.
Stu. So if you live in Toronto, here's the number to call, 416-360-0740. And if you live outside Toronto, anywhere in the province of Ontario, including Port Colborne, or, you know, anywhere, 1-866-740-4740. We would love for you to give us a call. And if you are a first-time caller, let Owen, our operator, know, because then I will give you the garden wings. We want to make sure we do that. And, of course, our mantra, call often, call early. And one question per call, please. Over to you, Charlie.
I was just going to say, what a perfect time to have garden wings. How are you seeing some nice fall colors where you are?
Yes, and there's more. There's a beech tree right outside the house that we're staying in. Incidentally, the house we're staying in is like 133 years old. So I don't know how old the beech tree is.
Probably the same age.
Every so often we keep hearing these bonks, you know, and they fall. And they fall on the porch or they fall on my truck.
Boom. You know?
So they're everywhere.
Hard hats when you step outside. Yeah. Be careful. You wouldn't want to get hit.
No, but yes, the fall leaves are coming down and the colors are becoming more apparent. What about you?
I'd like to say, well, I mean, we are getting some color for sure, but we've been getting it for a while. You know, again, drought conditions will bring on the colors earlier than ever. Here, I guess it's well, you know what, through the fog, it's a bit hard to say. It is.
They're not vast here, but they are coming.
We have quite a lot of maples around, so we're getting some beautiful oranges. I am getting some browns, some stuff. The leaves on some of my trees have just, you know, said, okay, enough. Like, I have a sugar maple, so it's, you know, it's not a very old tree. I planted it 5 years ago. It's supposed to be bright, bright orange. While you look at it now, it's kind of a rusty color. So It's trying to be orange, but it's also got a lot of crispy brown going on. But whatever.
I've seen a lot of that as well. Yeah. And I guess it has to do everything to do with the weather and the lack of rain that we've had.
Yeah. And every year is a new year. Got to remember that. So listen, a couple things I did mention last week, that this Monday, October 6th, the Agent Court Garden Club is meeting and has a flower show, which is always fun. 7:30 p.m. Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. The speaker is Michael Erdman, and his topic is new houseplants, which is kind of fun. This Wednesday, and I also mentioned this last week, the Riverdale Horticultural Society is meeting, and they have a, just going to see if I can bring this up. It's an intro. There it is. Heather Sinopoli sent me the information for this event. It's a hybrid event. So if you're in Toronto, you can go right into the Riverdale Horticultural Society meeting. It's on Logan Avenue near the Danforth, or you can zoom in. And I'm seriously thinking I might zoom into this. It does look like a really interesting meeting, 7 p.m. Author Lorraine Johnson is doing an incredible, probably very well-researched presentation called Unsettling the Garden, a Non-Indigenous Gardener's Reflections on Landscape, Reconciliation, and Relationship Building. And I'll be zooming in for something like that. Lorraine will be at the meeting. She's got all kinds of books that she will be selling as well. And I will, just for the first time, mention this. It looks like, a pretty fun event close to where you are, Dean.
Yeah.
It's at the St. Catharines Museum.
Oh, yes.
At Lock 3 at 1932 Welland Canal Parkway.
There you go.
It's probably right next door to you.
Probably just down the canal.
Yeah. So if you hang out a little while, there is an event happening on October 19th, which of course is still 2 weeks from today or tomorrow, all day, 10 until 4 p.m. There's a silent auction. Special guest speakers are Paul Zammit, who is amazing, and Lorraine Johnson, who I was just speaking about. And this is a very much of a fundraiser. Like I say, it's an all day. There's lunch. Tickets are available in advance for $20 or at the door for $25. So that's the St. Catharines Hort Society bringing you a pretty special day. For more information, you can look up the St. Catharines Horticultural Society is what I would say, though they are taking e-transfers if you want to buy advance tickets. So lots of good information there.
Excellent. An exciting week in gardening land.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're very close to our first break time, so we're going to run to that. We do have some callers on the line, but don't hesitate. Don't wait. Give us a call. Because if you leave it too late in the show, we might not be able to get to you. We want to do that. Again, the numbers are for Toronto residents, 416-360-0740. And for anywhere else in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And we will be, go ahead.
That's so good. Thank you. I forgot one.
Okay.
I'm going to get slapped if I don't say this one, because this is happening this week as well. Wednesday, October 8th, the Burlington Hort Society is meeting. 6:45. The topic is composting with worms. So this is also vermicomposting. This is composting in your kitchen under
like
the
that.
Sink. I know, pretty fun. Ryan Vieira is doing the presentation. For more information, go to www.burlingtonhs.com.
Okay, love it. I didn't know you could do it under your sink. We'll talk about that after. Okay, great. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. And I know that you are poised to talk about vermicomposting, but I just want to hit the pause button for a second, because Mary's been on the line for a while waiting.
All right.
Let's talk.
So I just
to
want
me.
To go to our first caller. We have Mary on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mary.
Yes. Hello.
Morning.
Hello. Yeah. Go ahead, Mary.
Hello. Hello.
Yep. Go ahead, Mary.
Hello.
Good
okay,
morning.
Okay. We're going to go to our next caller. Hello. Owen, we'll go to Sharon. Okay. Sharon's in Ridgeway. Sharon, welcome to the Garden Show.
Oh, thank you. I just want to say first that I was surprised to hear that I'll be seeing Dean on stage this afternoon in Port Colborne. Oh.
Great. Wow. You have tickets?
I've had tickets since late August. So.
Oh, my gosh. They're rare.
Sunday night sold out. He was going to be in it when I was listening to his show Sunday night. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you make sure that you and I shake hands at the end of the show, okay?
Will do. Will do. Okay. I'm calling, though, about my hydrangea. Mm-hmm. And I bought one of those strawberry and cream ones that go from white to pink to deep sort of burgundy almost. Mm-hmm. And it's little and it bloomed, but every time it bloomed white, they turned really brown. Only one bloom actually went pink. And I'm wondering, they crinkled up and turned dark brown. I'm just wondering, did I do something wrong or is there something I can do to fix that?
All right. Have you got that hydrangea planted in full sun? So 6 hours or more of sun daily?
Yes, it's in my front lawn and we face south.
Okay, so lots of sun. And what about the soil? Did you supplement the soil or is your, do you have a good fertile, well-drained soil?
It's well-drained because we're mostly, it's a lot of sand where I am. And I did put compost in the hole and I put compost on top.
Okay. And you planted the plant at the same level it was growing in the pot when you bought it? No deeper.
Yeah.
Okay, why would the blooms fail? When did you plant it?
I planted it in May.
In May.
Towards
so it should have settled
May.
In. It could be, I mean, it's hard to say for 100%, but when we plant a new plant, you got to remember that if it doesn't flower, actually it's probably a good thing because we want newly planted plants to get established. And getting established means growing roots, getting settled in, making itself comfortable in its new home. And so if we don't see a lot going on above ground, we should never worry because we know there's lots going on below ground. The fact that it put out flowers that turned brown could be environmental. It's been obviously a very hot summer. Perhaps you overwatered it. Is that possible? How often were you watering?
I was watering it every few days, especially every other day during the really hot spells.
Which might have been too much, guessing on how much drainage you've got. Because remember, the hydrangea does not want to be in a soggy soil, but it does want to be watered thoroughly when it's watered. So, you know, and lately I've had a lot of people asking me, because of the drought all across the province, how do I know how much water is enough water? Like, I'm watering, but I don't know when I should water again. And the old moisture meter, many of us have those that we use on our indoor plants. It's a little probe with a little dial on top to give you an indication of the moisture levels down about, you know, 25 centimeters or thereabouts down below the ground level. And you can take your moisture meter outside and stick that in the ground, you know, right down where in the case of a newly planted plant, right at the base of the plant. And then you'll know, hey, I don't need to water today. There's lots of moisture still there. So rather than overwatering, it might just be that that's been going on. And don't leave it out there, obviously. The moisture meter, just dry it off and bring it back in. But use them, you know, when in doubt, don't hesitate. They're very, very handy, those things.
Okay, I will try that for sure because it grew lots of leaves, so... There's nothing wrong with the leaves. It's strictly the blooms. So
yeah, I think it's probably fine. It has been a very funny growing season for everybody this year.
Oh, absolutely. I had terrible tomatoes. I know. All white inside, red on the outside.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been challenging.
It has. But thank you very much for the information, and I'm looking forward to seeing Dean this afternoon.
Yeah. Okay,
have fun, Sharon.
Yeah, not very often I get to meet one of the listeners the same day we're chatting, so I'll see you this afternoon, okay?
Cool.
Okay. Thanks so much, Sharon. Okay, now we're going to go back to Mary. We've got Mary back on the line. Mary, welcome to the Garden Show.
Yeah. Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm very getting a fixture sometimes, maybe this month or next month, given to me. Should I take it in the house over the winter, or could I plant it this year?
Yes, you must take it in for the winter. It will die if you leave it outside. Most people that grow figs and want to keep them growing year round will bring them in for the winter, but put them in a cool location. The plant will go dormant for the winter. It may drop all its leaves, but the main thing is that it comes in, it's frost free. If you have a bright location, put it in a window, preferably a cool location, obviously above zero, 10, 11, 12 degrees Celsius. So 50-ish, even 60 is the best location for the winter. And Mary, if you want more information, you have a fig expert right there in Toronto. His name is Stephen. And now my brain's going to go on hold. Oh, Stephen, what's your Stephen. I'll report back. A website to get in touch with him. Or at least we can look at his website, because he's got a great website. And him and his daughter do all kinds of gardening right there in North York. So Young and Shepherd area. He's got figs. He's had them for 20 years. And they go in and out of his basement every fall and every spring. So certainly doable, Mary. A little more information is certainly available to you as well. So I'll let you know what that
is. Thank you very, very much for the call there, Mary. Our numbers to call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. And we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. And before we go to our next caller, we were talking about rain. We were talking about dew. I said it came out this morning. Believe me, Charlie, I'm not going to argue with you. You know, I am unqualified to argue with you, but I thought it may have rained here last night because of the look of the pavement and the water on the Adirondack chairs that are positioned outside along the canal. So I sat on the cement block instead, but you said it could be dew.
It could be. I mean, we get some pretty heavy dew here. And you know what? I think you should call them Muskoka chairs now. I think we should lose the Adirondacks.
That's true. Yeah.
Just a thought. But for Mary and anybody else who is listening, I had a moment there where I just, you know, my good friend Stephen Biggs' name just completely went out of my brain. And Stephen has been growing figs forever. And he's actually put out a new book. He's a published author. He's got a great website. His new book is all about growing lemon trees. So if you want to learn, you know, growing them year round, but his website is very simple. Food, garden, life. Three words, foodgardenlife.com. Okay. And right at the top there, growing figs in a cold climate. And he's got videos, he's got books, he's got everything you need to know about fig growing. So Mary, there you go. And anybody else who's interested in particularly bringing tropicals in for the winter that are unusual. You like growing the unusual? Steven's your guy.
Okay, foodgardenlife.com.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Let's go to our next caller. We have Barbara on the line, and she is calling from Dunnville. Welcome to The Garden Show, Barbara.
Hi.
Morning.
Yeah. Hello. My question has to do with a standard lilac tree, and it's supposed to flower two times a year. When do I trim it?
It sounds like it might be one called Bloomerang.
I don't know what the name is.
Probably that one, because that is a fairly new in the last.
You know
10,
what? You're really
15.
Breaking up. Can I hang up and listen to you on the radio?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yes. Thanks for that, Barbara. And while we're doing that, while you're contemplating your question, we do have lots of room on the lines. Give us a call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. That also gave Barbara the chance to turn her radio back up. Because we ask people to turn them down, of course, when they call. And so we're talking about hydrangea.
No, now we're talking about lilacs.
Lilacs, so, sorry.
A standard lilac means it's a lilac that's been grown as a tree. So it's got a single stem and branches out the top, a bit like a lollipop, if you want to imagine. And if Barbara was told it's going to bloom more than once, it's likely a cultivar called Bloomerang. Okay. And Bloomerang is kind of cool. It's considered an ever-blooming lilac. So it doesn't just do the big spring flush, but it blooms kind of sporadically throughout the summer. Right, I've seen them bloom right up until Christmas. Wow. And they're fragrant. Now, they get big. So hopefully Barbara, you know, has space for it to really, you know, achieve its full glory. When do you, it's hard to know when to prune, because whenever you prune, you're going to be taking off flower buds. So what I do is I wait, I go for that first flush, that May, late May, early June, when it's covered in blooms and it's so fragrant. When they're finished, it depends how much time and how big the plant is. You can go in and individually cut out the flowers that are now finished. As the plant gets bigger, that becomes a very big job, because it's, you know, sometimes might have thousands of flowers. But so in that case, you would probably just give it a shearing with, you know, your long shearing shears, long bladed shears. And then what will happen is it'll grow and it'll set more flowers. So you'll have a space of time where there'll be no flowers on the lilac through, say, all of June. By July, you should be back in business.
Okay. I've never come across one of those. That's fascinating to think that they've come up with a lilac that will bloom like right through the whole season.
It's beautiful. It's a really nice plant. It was about 20 years ago that I think that it was introduced, maybe 15. So it's still fairly new. I put one here on my property just because it is such a great plant.
Yeah. And do they come in various colors?
Mm-mm. They're all that traditional lilac color.
Lilac color.
And they're not huge flowers. They tend to be a little on the, they might be 2 or 3 inches tall, as opposed to some lilacs that have, you know, huge, big flowers. But boy, it's prolific. Once it's flowering, it's really, really, you know, fragrant and beautiful.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's go to our next caller. I'm having trouble. I think it's View Lake. It's somewhere near Lindsay. And we've got Sharon on the line. And Sharon, you're a first-time caller. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning. Did I get the name of where you are correct?
That's right. It's all one word. It's a little wee hamlet between Port Perry and Lindsay, and it's right on Skugog.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm going to get your wings there.
I'm going to get your wings there, your garden wings. Thanks for being a first-time caller. And now I'm going to hand you over to Charlie. What do you got for Charlie?
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Charlie. We've been listening to you for the last little while. And anyway, I've got a good buy on a big bag of potassium. And I heard that it is good for Clematis vines. And mm-hmm. I don't know if to put it on now or wait till spring. Am I wasting it if I do it now?
Okay, so do you have that bag in front of you by any chance?
No, it's coming in the mail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I need more information. Potassium, what it's called?
Yeah, potassium, it's a powder. It's supposedly good for hydrangeas and whatever, eh?
Okay. Well, I assume it's high in potassium.
It is. And I've heard that it is really good for clematis and for hydrangeas. And I was wondering, am I wasting it if I put it on now? Should I save it till spring?
Okay. So what I do when it comes to fertilizing outdoor plants in the fall is, yes, you can do it, but do not do it now. The weather is way too warm. If you start fertilizing now, like if it arrived, it's coming in the mail. You won't see that for a while, I'm afraid.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Good old Amazon.
Okay. So Amazon will be sending it by courier. Yeah. So you will get it.
Yeah.
So do not use it when it's this warm. Because if you start fertilizing any plants, any outdoor plants now in all this warmth, the plants will actually absorb some of that nutrient and grow, Well, we don't want to make our outdoor plants grow at this time of year. We want them to very normally and casually and comfortably go to sleep. It's, you know, winter's coming. So we don't want to encourage growth now. Any fertilizing of outdoor plants can happen, but not until we've had a really good hard frost. And typically that would be in November sometime. So yes, if there's instructions on this package about how much to put around your plants, it'll be, you know, a cup for every square meter, that sort of thing, then follow those instructions, but wait until either, you know, sort of mid to late November or even, you know, early next spring.
Okay. That's good then. I was kind of nervous about it, eh? But I have five clematis plants and I don't want to waste this potassium either.
Right.
So I thought I'd give you a call.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you called. And I think one other thing just to mention is that if it is a potassium-based fertilizer, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with, you know, it is an absolutely essential nutrient is what potassium is. When we look at a package of any fertilizer, it'll usually have three numbers on the front. So it'll be like 10, 15, 10, three numbers. So the first number represents the percentage or the ratio of nitrogen. The second number represents the phosphorus, and the third number represents the potassium. And potassium is really important for all plants to help with a general health. On our lawns in the fall, we'll use a fall fertilizer. And the reason you'll notice it's usually quite high in potassium is it helps the lawn get through the winter. So it just helps it bounce in, you know, and come back to life in the spring looking very good. It's an all-round nutrient that all plants need. If in doubt, never over-fertilize. Do a soil test before you start cranking a whole bunch of fertilizers so that you aren't wasting money or fertilizer or over-fertilizing or causing some, you know, we can mess up with the natural ecosystem of the soil if we just randomly, you know, put things out. You know, ashes from the fireplace is a good example. That is potash. So again, that's a potassium form of potassium. And you can use that in your compost and use it on your gardens, but nothing in too high of quantities.
Ah, I mean, sometimes you can be too kind.
Exactly.
In our care, can't we? Anyway,
kill
I want to thank you very much. And I enjoy your show.
Thank you
as well, very much. And don't be a stranger, as Charlie always says. Make sure you call back again.
Yeah, killing plants with kindness is quite common. And Sharon, just so you know, she lives on View Lake. I haven't heard. She's right on Scugog. I lived in Caesarea for about a couple of years when I worked for White Rose Nurseries back in when I was in Oshawa. And I lived right on Lake Scugog as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful part of the province. Well, there's so many beautiful parts.
And talk about fog. Boy, we got crazy fog up there.
Did you there?
At this time of year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, and we are in the midst of a run of first-time callers. We have another one on the line, Sonia from North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sonia.
Hello. Good morning, Dean and Charlie. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Great.
We're good.
Good
I want to give you your garden wings, okay? So you've earned them. There you go, my dear.
Thank you so much. Now, I just wanted to ask about bringing plants in. My mom has a whole bunch of plants, and she puts them outside every summer, and they're house plants. And I dread when they have to come in because all the bugs that I've seen and the spider webs, and we've experienced aphids before. I'm going to try and help her this year with the bringing in of the plants, but in my mind, it's like, the soil, she just should put new soil in, you know, buy some soil and put new soil in. But is there a way where I can, like, make sure that the bugs, the ones that burrow into the soil, like, I don't want to have to buy a ton of soil to replace the soil that's been outside. And plus, these are, like, there's three birds of paradise, one that's very large, and then three that are medium size. And then there's, like, three hibiscuses that are, like, you know, not very big, but, and then there's a Monstera that's kind of big, you know. Okay. I don't know how to clean so that they're thoroughly clean from bugs. Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Many people don't like bringing in plants, and all of a sudden they've got, you know, centipedes crawling around their living room floor, and that causes them to want to sell the house. Like, it's just like, that's an insect that people get really creeped out by, I find. So here's what you're going to do, Sonia. Those are some big plants. First, it all starts with a very thorough inspection of everything that's above ground. So whether it's spider webs or aphids or little, you know, who knows, hanging out on the plants, you've got spider your hose.
Mites. Spider mites especially.
Well, hopefully not. You know, you won't have anything like that. So you do look for webbing for sure. If you do see webbing, get out a magnifying glass. Look, spider mites are tiny. You won't see those actual mites, but you will see their webbing. And of course, you look for those between the crotches of the main stems and the leaves, or across the leaves in the case of the bird of paradise. Either way, a really, really thorough inspection, 360 degrees up, down, all which ways on every plant. Once you've inspected it, hose in hand, nice, gentle, soft shower spray, spraying the plant. You're washing off any dirt, any insects, any whatever, eggs that might have been laid. You can use your hands on those nice big leaves, give a nice swoop on everything. In terms of the soil, the only way you can really, really guarantee you're not bringing in any little insects that are living in the soil is to dunk those plants, those pots, into a larger bucket of water, like a big, a Rubbermaid tub.
With a big bird of paradise?
Not easily. You'd need a very large container that's bigger than the pot and obviously it's going to be very heavy. The other thing is just even sometimes, a soap and water solution. Sometimes soap, remember, does a good job killing insects. It also does a good job cleaning plants. So soap and water solution, even that, run through the soil as a watering. So time to water the plants instead of straight water, water with soap. 40 parts water to 1 part soap, not detergent, but soap, will also eliminate little beasties that might be in the pots. The immersing them into a big bucket is great because, earwigs are a good example. They do not want to be underwater. So as soon as you immerse a pot underwater, if there's any earwigs in there, they all like float to the surface pretty quick. Like, they're all like, whoa, let me out of here.
Immerse the soil, like I take the whole plant and the root goes into the water.
Okay. No, the pot, leave it in the pot. Leave the plant in the pot. The whole pot and with the plant in it goes underwater.
Charlie, can we just address Sonia's suggestion to replace the soil? That's
right. I would not do that for a couple of reasons. One is the cost. Number two is the pain in the rear end. And number three is the stress on the plant.
Breaking up.
Okay. It's very stressful. Okay. I don't know why we're having it must be the fog here. So Sonia, if you can hear me now, maybe hang up and then you can turn your radio up. And I'll just, because I'm sure this is a question other people are wondering about, and it's that idea of transplanting or repotting plants in the fall. And it is never optimal to do that in the fall. It is stressful at any time of year to transplant or repot, and fall is a time when we don't want to stress plants. We want them to just hunker down. Yeah, thank so you. She's having trouble hearing me. Either way, we'll see. She may call back. But people do it because they like Sonia, are so worried about bringing in insects, they'll do this transplant job. But it's not great for the plants. And if they're really good, like a hibiscus is hard to kill, so you could probably repot all your hibiscus. Bird of paradise, I'd be a little more careful with.
Okay, fair enough. Our numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. You know it. We'll be back with more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. Just quickly, before we go to our next caller, Charlie wanted to mention one of the gentlemen that I have been working with in the show who plays the Dean Martin role in the show. He lives in Nova Scotia. He was born there, lived for 30 years in Ontario, and he and his wife, Joanne, moved back to Nova Scotia in the last couple of years, bought a property there. But he was at the table yesterday. His wife has shown him a video, and I didn't realize this. He goes, ah, those deer. And so they live in a wooded area, and he says the deer annihilate their hostas. They love hostas. They just, I didn't realize that. They just eat them.
Yeah, right down to the ground.
Yeah.
In the summer, of course, there's nothing to eat in the winter, but also they love cedar trees. Okay. And I've seen so many great photos, well, not great because you would hate this to happen, where somebody has this beautiful hedge and it's all been eaten right from the ground up to as high as they can reach, the deer can reach. So it's like, you know, 6 or 7 feet above ground. Yeah. Completely brown, and everything above there completely green.
And
it's just like, oh, the deer have been here, and they do that in the winter. So what does he do? You know, he might want to consider that. I've talked about plant skid, and plant skid is designed to protect our plants, our edible plants, from mammals like deer. And
so I will mention that to Derek. Yeah, that's an option.
So plant S-K-Y, D as in dog, D as in dog. And you spray it now for the whole winter. It's a 3 to 4 month completely organic spray that
will keep it right on the hostas.
On the leaves when they emerge in the spring is what I would do.
Beautiful. Okay, cool. We are going to our third first-time caller. We have Chris on the line from Mississauga. Welcome to The Garden Show, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. I'm going to give you your garden wings, okay? I don't want to... There you go. Thanks for being a first-time caller.
Yeah. Welcome.
Morning. Thank you. Morning, Charlie.
Morning.
I have a question regarding... I plant everything in raised garden beds. It's easier on my back. So I have rosemary that is growing very nicely in a container, and my strawberries, which I've finally had a chance to grow... how should I store them? Can I grow? I have a little mini greenhouse in the house that I've never really used. So I'm just wondering if I could do something in there or should I dry out the rosemary?
Okay. So strawberries, I would leave them outside. Why wouldn't you leave them in the raised garden beds outdoors?
I'm not sure. Like it's really weird. Like my front yard gets most of the sunlight. It's like 6+ hours. My backyard only gets a couple of hours, and my front yard gets piled with snow from the, because it's like at the curb area.
Yep.
So the snowplow guy comes by and just buries everything, and then when we shovel, it all gets buried more. So I was thinking if I put them in the, like put the container in the backyard for the winter, would that be safe for them?
I personally would leave them in the front yard and let them get buried in snow. Strawberries are very hardy and they do want to stay outside, but they want to stay dormant. And that's the snow will be perfect for that, assuming we get a great snowy winter. I would just leave them out. Even if it is a sunny location, pile leaves on for the fall. And then as snow falls, pile snow on. And in the spring, just snow will melt. Move the leaves around and the strawberry should pop right back up. Rosemary, on the other hand, is unlikely to survive outside unless you're in a really little warm microclimate pocket somewhere. Rosemary is what we call a tender perennial. So it's generally an annual in Canada, in Ontario. I would suggest if you want to keep that rosemary, you have two options. One is, like you said, cut it down, dry, you know, hang to dry, or pot it up. I just leave my rosemary in a pot and I have it inside all winter and outside all summer. Eventually I have to give it a bigger pot, but bottom line is it is a plant that does very well in a hot, sunny location outside. I always have it in a clay pot, so it's got great drainage. When it comes in, I just put it in a sunny southern window for the winter. Don't water it very often. That's how we kill them, is too much water. So yeah, depending on the size of the pot, I might water every week or two the rosemary just to keep it alive for the winter and snip away as you want to add it to your chicken or your stir fry.
And I do have a mini greenhouse. I've got all the lights and all everything, but right now it's being used as storage for all my planting materials that I've never bothered to set up. Could I put the rosemary in that if I...
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Just give it 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark. So set the lights up to do that. And it just like it's going to be basically that kind of thing as you're going to bring it in before a hard frost. So you're going to bring it in the next couple of weeks. So just mimic the conditions and set it back up like that. Yeah. No, just it'll be light levels indoors that are always the limiting factor. But if you've got a greenhouse situation with supplemental lights, you should be good.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call there, Chris. And do not be a stranger. We're going to jump to Doris in Stony Creek. Welcome to the Garden Show, Doris.
Oh, thank you. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Yes. Listen, I just don't have any luck with dahlia bulbs. Mm. I love the flowers. They're just beautiful. But over the years, I keep trying different things. So I thought, I'm going to try this year again. I went out and bought 3 packages of bulbs. Mm-hmm. Only one bulb survived, and it's right. Doing well. It's got lots of flowers on it right now. So I need help. How do I store them? You know, I'm just frustrated, but I just can't seem to give up on them. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, you know what I'm going to suggest? Because growing dahlias shouldn't be that hard as long as you've got lots of sun.
And
that's one of the issues is, you know, they need that 6 hours of sun every day. Okay. They need a good quality, fertile, well-drained soil. Mm-hmm. You're calling from Stony Creek. There is a Hamilton Dahlia Society. Maybe that's what you need to do is connect with them. It's literally Hamilton Dahlia Society.ca. And you could just click on the link. There will be information on their website. Okay. They are selling tubers now as we speak. Okay. There's also the Canadian Chrysanthemum and Dahlia Society. So really good information is on the web for us, you know, for our, you know, don't read about what they do in Georgia because that's a different world. Do it, follow, you know, a society that's local and you'll find they'll give you good information on growing, but also storing for the winter.
Storing, very good. Can I just tell you one more thing? You gave me excellent advice about my geranium, what to do with it to get it back again this year. And I can't believe it. The geranium, when it went in the ground, was bright yellow. Guess it's changed color. It's white. How could that happen?
Wait, so the flowers?
Yes. I put it in the ground and it was bright yellow.
I don't think I've ever seen a yellow geranium. Geranium?
Yeah,
yellow?
Yeah. Mum, whatever you want. No, not sorry. Mum.
Oh, mum. Mum. Okay.
Chrysanthemum. I'm on the wrong damn plant.
Yeah. So. Yellow and went white. Mum. You know what? Yeah. That's the most common I find. When plants revert or change color, they change to white. And I think it's got to do with the wild type where what they originally came from. So certain environmental soil pH, water pH, temperature, all kinds of things affect flower color. And even earlier we were talking about potassium and fertilizers, even potassium and the fertility of your soil affects the color of the flowers. So it could be something like that. Yeah, it does happen. Don't worry. I know so many times it happens with gladiolus. If you ever plant gladiola bulbs, you plant a bunch of colors and 90% of them are white 3 or 4 years later.
Okay, got to go. Doris, thanks very much for the call. Yeah. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show. And incidentally, Charlie, I forgot to say happy October to you. Of course, this is our first Garden Show of October, the 4th. It's hard to believe that it's just tripping along. We are 3/4 of the way through our year.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, winter's coming. Where'd the summer go, actually? It's still very summery where
it
I am.
Yeah, where I think most areas of the province are going to be in the early to mid-20s today. I think that's where the forecast is.
And then there's going to be a change and it's all going to cool right off. So, hey, just a reminder, while we still have a few minutes, If you have amaryllis bulbs in pots sitting outside your house right now,
I do.
Leave them. Leave them outside. Do not bring them in.
Nope.
The word from Caroline DeVries, who is the bulb expert, who is also the person who runs flowerbulbsrus.com, is leave your amaryllis outside till we get one cold snap.
Okay.
And that snap needs to go between 1 and 5 degrees Celsius. So not like minus 10, because that would kill them, but you want an actual light frost to hit those amaryllis, and then they come in right after that into the basement.
Sounds good to me. Let's go to Gail. She's calling from Fenland Falls. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Good morning.
You there, Gail?
Hello.
Morning.
I have a thick border of tall blue salvia all around my house in the on the perimeter. In the late summer, the stalks all start to break off right at the base of the stem, and that's continuing still. And someone told me it might be cutworms. Do you have any suggestions?
Cutworms usually are a problem early in the season when we have very tender young seedlings out in our gardens, you know, newly germinated bean seed, you know, bean plants, that sort of thing. Cutworms, just cut them off at ground level. This, do you have, so the salvia, tall, how tall is your salvia?
Oh, I would say 2 feet at least, maybe almost 3 feet.
Wow, that is tall. And this is blue salvia.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a perennial.
Well, I don't think it is. I've never treated it as a perennial.
Oh, okay. All right, so it's, you buy it. So it's an annual. And, oh, so that is interesting. So they just fall over. Okay, could it be too much moisture in the soil is rotting the stems? Could it be there's mulch on the soil surface, which is holding moisture, which again is affecting the stems of the salvia? That's what I would look at. I'd look at, do you have automatic irrigation at your place? No?
No, we water it with the hose or with a watering can. No, it doesn't feel mushy. They're like woody stems on these plants. Yeah. But we do, give it too much moisture maybe.
Yeah, look closely when they do fall over like that. Look very closely. I mean, if it's been chewed, believe it or not, you'd be able to see like sawdust down at ground level if those plants have been chewed. I'd be surprised. That's a lot of work for a cutworm. Like, I don't think they would bother. I'm just trying to think who else would want to chop down tall, big, woody salvia. Squirrels? No, chipmunks? Groundhogs? Like, something could be chewing them down, but for what purpose I'm not sure, because salvia is not a highly edible plant. It's quite we use it, as you know, for flavors and you know, medicinal culinary purposes. Most animals don't want to eat it, so look more closely, check your soil moisture levels would be my suggestion.
Okay, thanks very much for the call there, Gail. We are quickly running out of time, so I'm going to go to our last caller on the line. We have Heather, who is calling from Brampton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Heather.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Charlie and Dean. I'll make it quick. I have a hodgepodge garden. There's rose bushes and daylilies and hen and chicks. And I've got tall plants at the front and short plants at the back and clusters of bulbs. So I want to dig the whole thing up and rearrange stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, and then put a bunch of manure on it for winter. Mm-hmm. So when's the best time to do that? It's all green right now. Do I still wait till the frost and it dies down? And
So most of the things, did you say roses? Because roses can be a bit challenging, but perennials are easy to move. If the roses, depending on how long they've been in that location, if it's only 2 or 3 years, then what I would do is I would take some photos, you know, sketch out what you've got, identify what you've got, have a plan on where everything's going after you get it out. And definitely grab, today's a bit warm, but today you could get your plan on paper. And then once you just cool down a bit, like you just need sort of the teens for the right kind of temperature. And then you're going to dig and you're going to take all these little root balls and either put them into pots or wrap them in burlap or stick them in the shade with some old sheets around their the base, around the root balls. You're going to keep them nice and moist in the shade while you work on the soil, get the garden in the shape you want it, and then pick up all your little root balls, bring them back, and drop them down where you want to plant them, and then do the planting. It's going to take a couple of days to do this, so just pick weather that works for you. That's what I would suggest.
Thanks very much for the call there, Heather. Sorry, we do have to run because we are out of runway.
How does this happen? That was a fast hour.
We're having a, you know what? It's because, you know, I think we have a great time every Saturday. I love doing this. I love learn something. Yeah. It's great to have the callers in all the time.
It is.
And not
great
to mention your smiling Charlie Dobbin face.
Not to mention Owens and yours.
And Owens.
We're also, it's pretty cute because Owens in Toronto. Today, you're in Port Colborne.
Port Colborne.
And of course, I'm at home in Prince Edward County. So we're all scattered across the province. But
as are the callers.
Yeah. But having a good old time. Like we're all just sitting around together, you know, shooting the breeze, as we say.
So next week, we'll have to talk more about the vermicomposter.
Yeah.
I know we couldn't get to it because we had so many callers, which is a great reason not to talk about we're vermicomposting.
But it's pretty fun. I think, I think you're right. Maybe for Christmas, we'll just see what we can get. And Owen would like one too.
Oh, of course.
Why not? Thanks, everybody. Great help, obviously, from the crew and great callers with very good questions. So keep those coming. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.